Welcome to another edition of In Focus as our look at affordable housing continues this week. And we have someone who's going to be doing a little bit of double duty for us today, Perth Mayor John Fenech, who is also the warden of Lanark County. Mayor Fenech, welcome back.
Well, thank you very much, Bob. Always a pleasure to be on Lake 88.
This is it's one of those subjects that's near and dear to your heart. It is one that you have taken under your wing and you have really spent a lot of time on. Of course, we're talking about affordable housing. We're going to take a look at it from a couple of different perspectives here. We'll start with the town of Perth. Yesterday, we heard from Smith Falls and some of the hurdles that they're facing when it comes to regulations. What's going on in Perth? What kind of outlook do you have for affordable housing in your town?
Well, you know, and that's going to be the issue that's going to be discussed at, I think, the municipal elections and the provincial elections. I know Minister Clark has got this on his sights, as does Premier Ford, because we're in a housing crisis. But what we're doing specifically in the town of Perth has to do with our master plan. We're developing a town's master plan. And within that, we want to include any new developments that happen in Perth, a certain percentage would be affordable housing, would have to be some type of housing that is affordable and that can be readily accessed. We've created a grant program in the town of Perth as well for secondary units. If you have a big lot in the town of Perth and you want to put a tiny home on it, you want to put a bunkie or a granny suite for your grandparents, we're offering a grant of up to $5,000 to anyone who would like to develop their lot and put a secondary unit on their lot to build some housing in the infill that we have within the town of Perth.
It's really interesting when you talk about that, because those are often kept in the family, of course. And you mentioned a tiny home and a granny suite. In reality, a lot that right now has one housing unit on it could, in theory, host up to three.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And these units are built to be very economic. They're very high end in terms of meeting climate change targets. They're very affordable to live in. And so we're hoping that people will take advantage of that $5,000 grant and start building these secondary suites. But in terms of the town's official plan, like we're serious about this in terms of creating affordable housing. And we want to meet the target of 25% of all new rental housing has to be affordable with new development. And 25% of all new ownership housing has to be affordable to households. And we want to entrench that so that new development that comes into the town of Perth, those who want to develop subdivisions understand that they've got a responsibility to not only put in the high-end $750,000 million homes that people will buy here in Perth, but also they have to develop that lower end opportunity housing, what I call it, for people to get on the property ladder. So when the town's official plan is passed, those are two really important aspects of it that we want to have in the town's official plan. We really want to entrench that and give developers a head up.
It's really interesting, because when you talk about some of those smaller homes, like tiny homes are a great chance for people to get in on the ground level, so to speak, when it comes to home ownership. And we've seen in other parts of the country, little communities that have, or sorry, other parts of the world, really, North America, where communities have popped up. They're tiny home communities. They have some central services, you know, like in a community center type setting or whatever, where they have like a hall and other amenities like laundry, whatever, that type of thing. Yeah. But they have their own tiny house, which makes it a little bit easier for them to afford. And really, when you look at that, people tend to think of one type of person who's moving in there. But when you're talking about affordable housing, you're talking about people who are on fixed income. You're talking about seniors. You're talking about people who are minimum wage earners. And you're talking about people who require social services as well. Like there's so many different people that fall under this umbrella. When you, as the town of Perth, take a look at these strategies, do you take into consideration all those different groups who are requiring this type of housing?
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. We try to look at it through a 360 degree lens, and that's why we've changed our zoning bylaws substantially to allow all types of housing, whether it's single detached, semi-detached, duplex, or a dwelling unit in a townhouse, or a tiny home. And because there are different needs at different levels, just like you said, from very young people to the seniors. I'm really excited about the Cabinscape project that we've approved in the town of Perth. We're bringing in two tiny homes and we're placing them on a piece of land owned by the Lanark County Housing Corporation. And they're going to be here in town. They're going to be absolutely energy efficient units. And those two units, those two tiny homes are going to be specific to seniors. If there's a senior couple that wants to downsize and have an affordable place, those two units will be reserved for that. So you really do have to look at all aspects and ages of our population and the people we represent.
One of the things you and I've talked about in the past is when you do it with these kind of parameters in place, having a certain amount of new development reserved for affordable housing, you're really fostering community, because people who maybe would not think that I have any chance of living in that subdivision now do. And, you know, they're now meeting new people. They're now part of that community. Whereas in years past, some of them may have felt a little bit left out. And again, yeah, we're talking about everybody involved here. We're talking about seniors, low-income earners, people who need social housing, who need social assistance. They get to be part of the community. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, it really is, and it's so important. And I'm proud of what Perth has done, Bob, but I'm also proud of what the county's done. We've really put our money where our mouth is. We've opened up a rent-to-geared income unit in Carlton Place. I just cut the ribbon on that. We're going to be building in Smith Falls a rent-to-geared apartment facility, which is just outstanding. I know Mayor Panko is very excited about that. And the county put $3 million towards that development. We've opened at the county level. We've done 10 additional portable housing unit benefit spaces, which is about $32,000 a year that we put into that, and 10 additional rent supplement spaces, which is about $72,000 a year. And we've just undertaken a massive housing study. We're just coming into the final draft about what are the tools we need to do as a county to expand housing within the county. So we're doing a lot at the county, and I'm really excited about that as well.
We're hearing a lot of good things that are happening in different communities. We heard a lot about that partnership with Carebridge and the county in Smith Falls yesterday. Yes. With Mayor Pankow. Is that the type of thing, that type of partnership that you could see coming to Perth?
Yeah, it's one of those things where that's the only way it's going to get done, Bob. If you talk to somebody who's going to develop, or you and I want to build a building, when we're looking at affordable housing, there's no profit to be made in that. So the only way affordable housing is going to happen is if you have partnerships with developers and municipalities help out, the county helps out, the province and the feds help out. You're going to have to throw, from a political point of view, money at housing to really make it work. And that's all there is to it. And there's examples of that, of how that's worked, not only with the apartment building that's going in Smith Falls. I think ground's going to be broken next spring on that, or the apartment building that we built in Carlton Place. But Lanark County Interval House, we created six new independent units here in the town of Perth through Erin Lee and the work she's done for women who are fleeing abuse. Sheridan Manor, we've added 9 new beds. We're doing a renovation of Victoria House, Rideau Ferry Country Home. We're helping with the renovation there. So it's the small things that add up. But for people who are on a waiting list or in the real estate market looking for a rental unit or a house, I understand the frustration. I understand the frustration, the emotional distress, and the pain, because the bottom line is the market's out of whack right now. We have to bring that up. And so it's important. It's important over the next 4 years, over the next, I think, 10 years, that we start focusing on homelessness and providing affordable housing. Because I've always said, Bob, that everything stops if you don't have that. If you don't have a home, a safe home to live in, you're not going to go to school to be educated. You're not going to university. You're not going off to find a job, because you simply don't have, your whole focus is on trying to put a roof over your head. So this is something that's going to last. You know, we've got to pay attention to on an ongoing basis. And I'm really excited about the possibilities in the future.
Yeah, you talk about this in the future. You've mentioned this a few times, 4 years, 10 years, right off the top, you talked about it. Everything that we've heard from you, and I'm not trying to make this the focus of the interview, far from it.
No, no.
But everything that we've heard from you is that this is your last year in municipal politics. Has your mindset changed?
Yes, it has. Bob, I'm going to seek another term as mayor, and it's this the housing thing that's really got me fired up right now. Two things have got me fired up: the environment, climate change, and housing. And as I see Perth becoming a very affluent community, I'm thinking to myself that that's absolutely wrong. There are developers who will come to Perth and they will build subdivisions and they'll build million-dollar homes, and those homes will be bought. There's no doubt about it. But there's a place here, and we have to, I believe as mayor, I have to focus on making this community, the town of Perth, as special as it was when I was first elected. And that is the heart and soul of this community, the volunteers, and making it an affordable community for those young people who want to stay here. Bob, I'm hearing stories about young people who were raised in Perth and they want to return to Perth because the office environment has changed. It's now everything's online. I can work from Perth and they've got a good job. They can't find housing in Perth. It's a critical issue. And I want to be around in the next 4 years to make sure that we become a walkable community, a green community, and a place where all people can come and settle.
Okay. I want to thank you very much for keeping your comments to housing there. I'm sure there's a lot more that you'd like to discuss. You have many more reasons. We're going to have you back to talk about that. But Perth Mayor John Fenech just announced here on Lake 88 that he will seek another term, another 4 years in office in the mayor's chair. Thank you for sharing that news, sir. Now, as we get back to this, actually, you never took us away from the discussion. And again, I'm grateful for that. But talk about things from a senior's perspective, because we all know you talk about the young people who come back. We're seeing a lot more of that. We've certainly over the past 2 years seen a lot, call it a younger infusion. And I'm talking about people like 25 to say 45, you know, who have decided to come to this area because of what you just said. They can work from home. They can go to different, they don't need to be in big cities anymore to live the life that they had. They used to be able to get more home for their buck out here. But as you said, that has changed. But when it comes to all this, there's still the seniors who are here, because Perth was known as a place where many people would go to retire and thoroughly enjoy it. My parents have done that, and it's a beautiful setting. But now we have seniors who are looking to either downsize or looking to come to this area to be closer to family or whatever, and they can't find units. So I know we talk about different demographics, but this is just one that I'd like you to address a little bit, because they're unique challenges no matter who you're talking to.
Yeah. And it becomes more apparent as I look in the mirror and I'm getting on with age, and I'm going to be facing that same sort of question. What's really done well here in Perth is affordable seniors units that are at the upper end of the scale. So we have Lanark Lifestyles, who developed a seniors residence. They're putting in a secondary residence. We have Carolina Court. And then you have full care facilities such as the Rideau Ferry Home. You've got Lanark Lodge. And those represent sort of the upper and lower end of the scale. If seniors who retire and who have a good pension can afford the Lanark Lifestyles, Carolina Court scenario, but they're very expensive. What I see in the middle is those who may not have, may just have CPP or OAS, old age pension, and they, you know, seniors that aren't as affluent, that can't afford the $3,000, $3,500 a month apartment, seniors apartment. So I think the answer to that is development of more mid-range senior retirement residences, perhaps with tying in with a subsidy from the county or the municipality to help seniors through. Like I mentioned, the Cabinscape, two Cabinscape homes that are coming in and here to Perth, those are great examples of units that'll be very affordable, very independent, very comfortable places to live. And I think we have to think more about that. And with that, Bob, I think we have to take a look, and I've had this discussion with Minister Clark, we have to take a look at the Ontario Building Code and building in, because the building code is so entrenched, building inspectors have to follow that. They don't really have any leeway. And I think we have to have a building code that's more representative of different types of developments, like tiny homes, where you can get building approval for those units in an expedited way. So if you're building, like if Algonquin College is building a tiny home, if they can send, you know, pictures during the build of that, of the framing, the joist work, the wiring, the plumbing, to a central area or to a building inspector, and a building inspector can actually look at that and say, okay, that's going to be placed on a lot somewhere, but I can approve that building now based on the drawings and what I'm seeing in the pictures, as opposed to you build a tiny home, usually within a confined space, you roll it out, you put it on a foundation. Building inspectors have a hard time because they say, well, I wasn't part of the process. I don't know about the floor joists. I don't know. So we have to look at adopting and changing the building code to put in a little bit of flexibility in terms of building safe buildings, the tiny homes, but giving the tools to the building inspectors where they can approve this kind of stuff. Because I've heard of, you know, a tiny home being built and it's a great home, but we can't get the thumbs up from the building inspector because he didn't see it when it was built. So I'm thinking, well, take pieces apart and take a look at it. But we've got to give some latitude to building inspectors to approve these tiny homes.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Like you're comparing apples to oranges when you look at your traditional home versus something like a tiny home. So yeah, there does have to be a standard that's there. There does have to be a standard, but it should be different from what we're currently seeing. That's one solution, certainly, to help with seniors. And you're right. We need action from the province. We heard that from the mayor of Smiths Falls yesterday, that they need to have some changes to regulations and be able to make some changes to regulations on their own in order to ensure that developers do have to provide some form of affordable housing. Taking a look at it from the county level, what does the county need from the province in order to help this issue?
Well, the bottom line is we need money, Bob. We need social services budgets to be better funded so that we can increase rent subsidies. You know, people rent subsidies, we pay landlords the difference between what a tenant can afford and what the landlord wants. We need more money in terms of our capital fund to build more rent-to-geared income units. I mean, I'm so proud of the one in Carlton Place, the one that's going in Smith Falls, but we need 10 of those all over the place. We need them in Mississippi Mills. We need them in Perth. We need 10 of those right away. So it comes down to money. And, you know, we build up our capital reserves and county council. I'm so proud of my county council. They are 100% supportive of putting more money into capital reserves and social services so we can build these facilities and have joint partnerships with private public developers. But that's what it comes down to. And I think the province is hearing that. Certainly, I'm hoping the feds are hearing that, because it looks like we've got a pretty stable federal government for the next 3-4 years. It would be nice to flow money to the provinces, to flow to the municipality, so we could do stuff like this.
Yeah, and I wanted to sort of wrap up with this, because you and I have had lengthy conversations about federal and provincial elections. We're both, you know, political junkies when it comes to that. We love watching elections. And when we watched the past election, the federal election, housing, it kept coming up. It is going to be repeated so many times. When the provincial campaign begins relatively soon. But do you feel like the federal government so far has under-delivered? I know it's early. They had to get a position where they had this deal with the NDP, but obviously people are saying, you just did, more needs to be done.
Yeah, more needs to be done at the federal level for sure. I know that Premier Ford, this is on his radar. It's going to be part of the provincial discussion. And they really are coming through with some ideas. They're trying to get people around a table to generate how can we deal with the housing crisis. So that's right on their radar. But I don't hear a lot from the federal end of things. And with that in mind, I was going to give Scott Reed, my friend, a call and actually have a sit down with him and say, you know, Scott, this is what we've done at the county, which is impressive. This is what sort of we've done in the town of Perth. how can you stand up in the House of Commons and start promoting what we need here? And so hopefully we, you know, and I know Scott, he's a great guy, and he'll stand up in the House of Commons during question period and say, you know, you're saying great things, the government's saying great things, but where does the rubber meet the road? How does that translate into federal transfers of dollars to the province and on to the municipality? So we'll see what happens. It's going to be an interesting time in the next little while. I'll tell you, it's going to be a very interesting time.
Absolutely. And Mr. Reid, of course, commented on the housing issue and what he saw as a lack of support in the federal budget when we spoke with him last week as well. So it certainly sounds like officials in this area are on the same page. Before I let you go, John, is there anything that you wanted to leave our listeners with, either at the Perth or the county level or both?
No, I just want to say to people, you know, when it comes to homelessness and housing, I understand the pain that people are going through, and I understand that it's becoming more and more elusive, but you've got a lot of politicians who understand that things have to change. And I think over the next little while, this is going to be the focus. It's going to be creating homes at every level and places, safe places for people to live. I fall on the side that having a safe place to live is a right. It's not a privilege. And so County Council, I think we're all working very hard to try to address it. But the need is so great. It looks like a drop in the bucket, but you know, enough drops fill that bucket up. And over time, I'm thinking we'll be seeing some good things.
Okay. Mayor Fenech, thank you so much for being with us today. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you, Bob. Take care. Have a wonderful day.
All right. You too. Our guest today, as we continue our look at affordable housing here on In Focus, Mayor of Perth and Lanark County Warden John Fenech. Now, tomorrow we continue Affordable Housing Week by welcoming Kate Burkholder-Harris from the Alliance to End Homelessness, who will be talking about the issue on a regional scale. Very important, because often people are told, well, if you're looking for some affordable housing, maybe go to a big city. She'll tell us why that may not be the best idea. We'll talk about that and a heck of a lot more tomorrow on In Focus. I'm Bob Perreault. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful afternoon.